Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, also my dad. I'm Ryan Dobson. And Dad, we have an incredibly important story to bring to our listeners today. But we should mention to parents, it's on a topic that might be tough for little ones to absorb, so you want to be aware of that.
Well, Ryan, our listeners are going to hear something today that they may not hear anywhere else. In fact, it is my prayer that people will really tune in to the details of what we're about to hear, because it's almost unbelievable. It's a story of courage and conviction from a man who has, frankly, sacrificed mightily to defend unborn babies and to protect vulnerable children and even the elderly. Mm-hmm. He is a champion of human life and, in fact, the sanctity of human life itself. And that's why I consider this man to be a hero today and why I've invited him to be with us. His name is Phil Klein. He was the Attorney General of the state of Kansas for 4 years, I believe, Phil.
Yes.
And that's a story in itself. But I am so honored to have him here. Phil, thank you for coming to us from Kansas to be with us and to tell your story. And I do hope people will listen very carefully because it is a complex experience of yours that goes to this very day, but one that everybody ought to understand.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here, and it is complex, but it is simple. It's simple in the sense that any time you try to enforce the law or bring truth to an organization that defies truth, that lives on deception, it will be a battle. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've had in Kansas with Planned
Parenthood. Well, let's start by talking about your resume and the journey that you've taken. You went to the University of Kansas School of Law.
That's right. I'm a Jayhawk.
And then you ran for the Kansas legislature.
Yes. I was elected in 92 and served through 2000 in the legislature.
And then you ran for Attorney General of the state of Kansas.
Correct. I served as Attorney General from 2003 through 2007.
Hmm. While you were both in the legislature and serving as Attorney General, you had a passion to protect children, as I said earlier, especially from sexual abuse.
Yes. My focuses was to try to strengthen Kansas law as it relates to protecting children who were sexually abused. Kansas, as many states, had followed the Kinseyan model. You might remember Dr. Kinsey of Indiana, who wrote his book that essentially he posited the theory that children are sexual from birth and that actual sexual interaction with a child by an adult is not necessarily harmful. And as a result, in the 70s, many legislatures across our nation greatly reduced the penalty for molesting children. And when I was in the legislature, and in fact, when I first became Attorney General, promoting child prostitution was a probationary offense. Possessing child pornography was a probationary offense. The incest with a child sometimes did not result in imprisonment. In fact, it was an effort to try to preserve the family even when incest was present. That philosophy had found its way into law. And so one of the things I tried to do as a legislator, and certainly as an attorney general, is to ensure that our children will be protected and somebody will hear their cry when they are abused.
Well, that led you to concern about what was happening with Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood and Dr. George Tiller. That and the fact that Dr. Tiller mocked Kansas late-term abortion restrictions.
Remind everybody of who he was.
Dr. Tiller was one of the world's premier late-term abortionists. He would perform abortions up until the moment of birth for virtually any reason. And that was contrary to Kansas law. Dr. Tiller was murdered by a lone gunman on May 31st of 2009. When I was in the legislature, I became to be aware of and this only makes sense. When you're approaching an industry like the abortion industry, you know, an organization or a group of people that can take a child, birth that child 99% of the way, and then stab it in the back of the skull and pull out its brains. and celebrate that as choice. It's not an organization or a movement that's going to respect law. Because when there is no truth that guides your path, the words of the law then have no meaning but what you assign them. And Planned Parenthood and Dr. Tiller did not see the law as a line of demarcation they cannot cross. They saw it as a tool to get what they wanted or an obstacle to be gotten around. And that's what I witnessed. And when I became Attorney General, I had the duty, the obligation, and I took an oath to enforce the law. But unfortunately, the Kansas judicial system, our governor, and those abortion clinics did not respect the rule of law. It was about power, and it was about continuing what they wanted to do.
And money.
And money, yeah. Certainly.
And what did you find when you began to investigate?
Well, as I began the investigation, the first thing that I found, now I had evidence that, for example, Dr. Tiller was performing abortions for really reasons that did not come close under the law. Somebody wanted to compete in rodeo. Kansas law provided that you could not perform an abortion on a viable child, a child that's capable of living away from the mother at the time that it is aborted, unless two doctors found the mother would suffer severe and irreversible impairment of a major bodily function unless the abortion is performed. That is a very narrow and tough law. It does not support an abortion because somebody wants to compete in rodeo or somebody does not want to hire a babysitter so they can go to rock concerts. So I started investigating. And additionally, what I found is the number of children who had abortions in Kansas were in the hundreds. And the prosecutions were not resulting. When you have a child who's 12 or 13 and has an abortion, that child has been raped. Somebody should face justice.
Right. Yeah, by very definition.
Absolutely.
For every one of those children, there should be an accompanying court case or investigation happening, and you're finding it's not happening at all.
Nothing.
It's not reported.
Evidently. So that's how I started my investigation to find out. And then I learned at the outset how important this was to Governor Sebelius. Governor Sebelius had been elected with strong support from the abortion lobby. She was elected governor as I was elected attorney general. We had served together in the legislature, and she'd also been an insurance commissioner in Kansas. But the reports of these crimes go to an agency that was overseen by the governor, and roadblocks started to erupt when I tried to get that information so that I could see if our children were being protected. The agency fought our requests. Then they took 5 months to answer our questions. And then after we got the information and we found the needle in the haystack, we learned that during a time period when there were 166 abortions on children in Kansas, Planned Parenthood had reported one case of child rape, and Dr. Tiller had only reported one case of child rape.
Now, let me see if I can put this into different words. So I want to make sure our listeners understand what you're saying. But if a girl gets pregnant and she is 12 or 13 or 14, maybe 15, and she undergoes an abortion, unless it was a minor who impregnated her, in other words, if the individual she had sex with is over 16, that child has been raped. That child has been abused, and that should be reported.
It is a crime that must be reported.
And you had 160?
166.
166 that occurred in 1 year where that was the case.
And only two were reported. Mm-hmm. And the concern there is, Dr. Dobson, now— If you have two children, two 15-year-olds who engage in sexual interaction, those cases do not get prosecuted.
Sure.
But the reality is the abortion clinic doesn't know, and they don't care.
That's right.
Law enforcement has – we have the tools to figure – I've got – as Attorney General, I know who the sexual predators are. I know who's registered and where they live, and we can figure out if that child is in danger.
Right.
The abortion doctor is not the Dr. Welby of modern medicine. Mm-hmm. He doesn't spend any time with the patient. He doesn't know the situation that that child comes from. And therefore, it was his duty under the law and ethically to call in those who could figure out the truth.
That's right.
But hundreds of children in Kansas were abused, and no one did a thing because they weren't reported and because of what our Supreme Court, Sebelius, appointed did next.
And we can only imagine what the individual circumstances were that led to that adolescent becoming pregnant.
And Dad, regardless of how that little girl got into that situation, it should always be investigated to make sure there's no abuse happening, because we should care about and protect kids.
The most prominent don't ask, don't tell policy in the United States occurs within the abortion clinics of Planned Parenthood. Mm. And in my experience in prosecuting child molestation, I know there are three things a predator wants: access to children, secrecy, and the cowardice of adults who know and look the other way. And unfortunately, Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics were giving them that very thing.
And so you began investigating that crime.
Yes, absolutely. And we learned that information. Now, to forward the investigation, I then had to go to another agency that was overseen by Governor Sebelius, Kathleen Sebelius, who is now Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Appointed by President Obama.
Absolutely, at the recommendation of Planned Parenthood, because of what she did in Kansas. So I started to try to get information from this other agency, and they started to fight us. And they filed motions to prevent us from gaining access to this information, because by now it was evident what we had learned. Even the Sebelius administration knew there was gross underreporting of child molestation by the abortion clinics in Kansas. And so the roadblocks became more vigorous. And in fact, I do not believe the timing to be coincidental. When I subpoenaed one of the Sebelius agencies, and the subpoenas, by law, had to be kept quiet, because you don't want investigations to be known. It could jeopardize victims. It could jeopardize evidence. It could jeopardize reputations. However, soon after that subpoena issued in 2004, I got sued by the Center for Reproductive Rights, which had no right to even know we were engaged in an investigation. Somehow they got word, and they sued us, and then the Sebelius administration tried to use that lawsuit to further stop the investigation.
I can't, sued you for what?
It's bizarre.
It has
for
to
my
be.
Opinion. For my opinion. It's hard to explain this, Ryan. I've been sued more times than I can count.
Wow.
In fact, in this 8-year battle, I've been placed under oath now in writing or on the witness stand. I've been on the witness stand for over 35 hours, more than 17 times. And during the entire time as a attorney general, 4 years, as a district attorney for 2 years, our Supreme Court did not allow me to put one Planned Parenthood employee under oath. Not one. Mm. So that's how vigorously they sought to protect this lie in Kansas. And so the Sebelius administration fought us there. And we ended up, a district court judge ordered Planned Parenthood and Dr. Tiller to provide us records. Now, here's another lie that's a part of this. From the very beginning, I sought an investigation without seeking the identities of adult women, because I didn't need them. I firmly believed that the records would show illegal abortions based on the medical records, and I never had to invade the privacy by knowing the identities of the adult women. So anything claiming otherwise was a lie. I could prove it by the medical records. And so we subpoenaed these records. A district judge orders them to be produced. Mm-hmm. This is still 2004. I've got the evidence that they're not reporting child rape. Now I want to see the actual abortion records that they're performing illegal abortions. After the judge ordered them to provide it, they filed another lawsuit directly with our Supreme Court to stop that subpoena. Now, typically what happens in the prosecution is if I subpoena something of yours, you can fight it with the district judge. If you lose that, the next battleground is if I file charges against you. Then you fight it with that district judge. And then if you lose that, if you're convicted, then you appeal. Otherwise, investigations would never end.
Yeah.
Although, that's the law for everybody else in Kansas and the nation. If you're an abortion clinic, you get to sue the prosecutor and the judge who approved the subpoena with the Kansas Supreme Court.
And that's what they did.
That's what they did.
Wow.
And the Kansas Supreme Court's one of the most liberal in the country, isn't it?
It didn't used to be, but Governor Sebelius, or her lieutenant governor, appointed 5 of the 7 justices, and they're appointed for life. And there is no confirmation with the Kansas Senate.
We talk about this all the time. Appointed by an individual not elected by the people for life. Nothing you can do about it.
Now, they have what they call retention elections, which means nobody runs against you. And and we know from the former Soviet Union and from China how those elections turn out.
Sure.
The incumbents always win. So that doesn't mean anything. These persons are appointed for life, and chief among them was Justice Carol Beyer, who previously worked for the National Women's Law Center. Now, it's fascinating. I'm jumping ahead a couple of years now, and I don't mean to do that too much to your listeners.
That's all
right. But one of the things that's happening now is the Supreme Court is trying to take my law license. And one of the claims that they have is that it was unethical for me to be pro-life and to investigate the abortion clinics.
Because you were biased.
Yeah, that's stunning to me.
Of course, Governor Sebelius was not biased.
Or Justice Carol Beyer.
Right.
Yeah.
But I also know that I'm anti-murder and I've prosecuted murderers.
Right.
A lot of them. to say that your pro-life beliefs invalidate you from holding an important elective office should be something that frightens everybody in this nation. And they're still pursuing that against me. But it is remarkable to me that the very same Supreme Court, which has Justice Beyer writing all the opinions on abortion her background, would somehow, through their ethics administrator, claim that I'm unethical because I'm pro-life. It reveals a lot about them.
Yeah. Now, you eventually obtained those records.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court was forced by the facts to allow you to get some of the records.
Yes, we won on the law, not before they tried to delay us till the statute of limitations had run. The Supreme Court sat on the case for a couple of years, but what I did is I snuck through with some friends in the legislature an extension of the statute of limitations, and Sebelius didn't know what she was signing. It was wrapped into a bill. And we extended the statute of limitations, and finally the court came down. And I got the records. They were subpoenaed. As it relates to abortions and rapes that occurred in 2000 and 2003. And I can tell you this, as a prosecutor, I can get your medical records if there's reason to believe they contain evidence of crimes in 3 days. Medical records are a part of every criminal investigation of violent crime, particularly as it relates to child molestation.
Of course.
Because a good defense counsel could easily frighten a child on the stand, and you need the corroborating evidence of the medical record to be able to prove the rape.
Yeah.
And we use them all the time. I did not get these records until October 24th, 2006. And by that time, I had already lost the election for my reelection.
Well, you missed a step there. In the next election, Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion organizations poured huge amounts of money to get you defeated, didn't they?
Well, that's one of the honors that I have is I was named with you.
Yeah.
As one of the 15 domestic terrorists in the United States by Planned Parenthood in 2006.
Wow.
But the fascinating thing about that, not only was I truly honored with you and Justice Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito and others, but I was the only elected official. There was not a member of Congress. There was not a presidential candidate. It was me. And the reason being, we have failed to focus on enforcement in this nation.
Right.
We pass laws, but we don't enforce them. And I was the only prosecutor ever in our nation's history to have Planned Parenthood records and to see that those records justified the filing of criminal charges. So they had to take me out. But a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. They took me out, but the guy who defeated me, who promised to end my investigation and had all those Planned Parenthood monies and other monies, was a Republican who switched parties to run against me. And he was a district attorney. And so he was midterm and had to resign to become attorney general, which vacated his spot, which, because he was elected Republicans, would be filled by Republican votes. And they elected me. And Planned Parenthood was located in that district where he was district attorney. So I suddenly became the district attorney in the very district where Planned Parenthood was with the records in my possession to continue the
Lord
investigation.
The Lord has a sense of humor.
It's like a movie plot line.
Phil, you really threatened the whole power structure of that pro-abortion community, didn't you?
Well, in many ways, yes. You know,
and they had to get you.
Yeah, and they still do, as you know. And I think, as all your listeners know, abortion is nothing more, nothing less than sin. I mean, as you know, in ancient Hebrew, missing the mark.
Yeah, well, another word for it's murder.
It is murder. But it doesn't only murder the unborn child. See, all sin starts with a lie.
Yeah.
But its aim is ownership and destruction. It destroys the unborn child. It destroys the mother who had the abortion unless she finds the grace of God for healing. It destroys the father who encouraged it. It destroys the parents who might have looked the other way. It destroys the culture that celebrates it. It will destroy the nation that sanctions it. Yeah. Because it has no limits as long as we allow the deception to occur. And what I found myself in, not because this was a mission of mine, but is because of what the truth is and how God works things, is confronting the evil at its very source. Yeah. And all it knows is destruction. It had to destroy me to perpetuate the lie.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
A lot of our listeners will have seen it was shot by live action, led by Lila Rose, the pro-life activist. And the video shows what appears to be Planned Parenthood employees engaging in the things that you're talking about today. It's illegal activity. And this is rampant in the organization. It's not just an isolated case. And yet they're still going after you, even when it's obvious it is not an isolated event. It is not localized to one area. It is rampant throughout the organization.
Yes.
And you can see why. He scares them to death. I mean, imagine what the implications are of Planned Parenthood being recognized as an organization that does not report sexual abuse of children. I mean, they couldn't get government money. It would essentially close down Planned Parenthood. At least that is the potential.
Yes. I mean, federal law provides, and it provided then as it provides now, that if they fail to report or comply with state laws requiring the report of child rape, they lose all their federal monies.
I just don't know how that's not an open and shut case when you've got them on video actively. It's not just that they weren't reporting it. It's not that Lila Rose went in and, you know, the first time around said she had gotten impregnated by someone grossly older than her. They didn't report that. But the second time around, it's someone who is purportedly engaging in child trafficking and prostitution. And not only did they not report it, that worker was trying to help them continue it. So how are they still funded by our government dollars and our taxpayer dollars is absolutely beyond me.
Well, I think part of the what we need to address is we don't have the men and women in office to enforce the law. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's great to bring public awareness to this, and that's important. But it doesn't mean anything unless you have a prosecutor in place that's going to take the evidence, and you're going to have to get other evidence, but it is there,
sure,
to pursue the criminal case. And that's another reason why Planned Parenthood had to have my head, is because they want to send the message to every other prosecutor who might take a look at it, is stay away.
Yeah.
Stay away.
We're out of time, Phil. We're going to have to go on with this story next time. We're talking about former Attorney General Phil Klein in the state of Kansas, who is only about a third of the way through his story to come up to today. But it gets even more bizarre. And with your permission, we'll pick up next time right here.
All right.
And we hope all of our listeners will join us next time to hear the conclusion of the story. There is so much more they need to know and what they can do about it, and we'll hear that next time. Remember, you can always stream the program on our website. You can even have it sent to your computer automatically every day by subscribing to our podcast, and that's available at myfamilytalk.com. If you'd like a complimentary CD of this broadcast, you can request it there or when you call at 877-732-6825. Also on our website, we'll have links to Phil Klein's organizations, which have more details about the case, including some ideas of how you can get involved in the fight for life. And earlier, you heard us talk about live action and Lila Rose's work with exposing the lies of Planned Parenthood. So we'll also make sure to have a link to her website. Again, all of this is at myfamilytalk.com. And we want to personally thank those of you who have given recently to our work of helping families, especially those of you who have taken part in our matching fund program. You may not have heard, but we have been given another matching grant. So if you haven't yet partnered with us, it is a great great time to do so. You can learn more about it on our website, or again, when you call, our number is 877-732-6825. Lastly, our broadcasting department is still accepting applications for a summer internship. So if you know somebody trying to get a degree in mass communication or broadcasting, you can learn more about that at myfamilytalk.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for the conclusion of our discussion with Phil Klein here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.